Welcome to Your Next Mission, the nation's number one video podcast on military transition and leadership. We tell the stories of those who served in the past and those who are serving today. From transition and financial wellness, VA benefits to mental health, we cover issues facing veterans, active military, and their families. Now, here's your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army and co-founder of the American Freedom Foundation, Jack L. Tilley.
Hello out there. Welcome to Your Next Mission video podcast. Americans across this great nation are celebrating America's 250th birthday this year. What better way to honor this milestone with another historic milestone, the U.S. Army's 251st birthday, than with the command team of 8th Army at Korea. Before we get started, though, I personally want to thank our presenting sponsors, Navy Federal Credit Union, whose members are the mission, Purdue Global, where you can start your comeback, and USA, where we take care of our own, with additional sponsorship from Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Dental and Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Vision. Together, they make Your Next Mission happen. They love our veterans and families. And today, we're going to talk with the command team of the U.S. 8th Army coming all the way from Camp Humphreys, Korea. And I'm excited to welcome Lieutenant General Joseph Joe Hilbert, Commanding General, and CSM Jeffrey D. Weaver, Command Sergeant Major of the U.S. 8th Army. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Sergeant Major. We're super happy to be here with you.
Appreciate the time, sir.
Well, I appreciate your time. And I like you said, you guys are a lot busier than I am. I'm normally just playing golf, just loafing around here, having a good time. But I appreciate you guys coming on. Hey, we got a lot to talk about today. We want to talk about Korea and all the great things you guys are doing over there. But there's always a but there. Before we do that, I want you to tell the audience just a little bit about yourself and, take about a minute. Sir, we'll start with you. Tell the audience about the general there.
All right. Okay, Sergeant Major. Yeah, so I'm Joe Hilbert. I've been in the Army 33 years. I commissioned through ROTC at University of Illinois Chicago. I went to the Moody Bible Institute. That's a long and different story for you.
All right.
But bottom line, I'm doing the only thing I've really ever wanted to do my whole life was just be a soldier. So every day in the Army's been a great day for me. That doesn't mean there's hadn't been ups and downs. But it's just been a great Army journey, and I'm super happy to be here.
There you go, Sergeant Major. How about yourself? Tell the audience just a little bit about you.
I'm Command Sergeant Major Weaver. I'm a senior non-commissioned officer. I'm a leader, and I'm a soldier. I've been in the Army for about 29 years, and I've served in airborne and light infantry units my entire career. I've also deployed in support of Iraqi Freedom and Enduring Freedom, and I've also deployed for Pacific Pathways and across the across Africa as well. I'm actually currently stationed here with my wife and my son, and this is my first time here in Korea, but I've got about 6 years total consecutively now in the Pacific.
There you go. I was going to ask if you're married. Sir, are you married? You got your family over there with you?
Yeah, I should have said that. I'm going to have to, for those that are talking to my wife, I didn't intentionally forget her here, right? So yeah, so we're an Army family. We got married. I got married right after OBC. Mm-hmm. I went to Field Artillery OBC, and 5 days after I graduated, my wife and I got married, and she's been with me the entire time. We got three kids. They're all grown. They're out of the house. Two of them are veterans, but they've been an Army family, and we've been together every camp, post, or station I've been stationed at. The family's been along here with us, so we're super excited to be an Army family.
There you go. Well, let me tell you something before we get to the first question. I've been married 56 years. My wife is my best friend, and I don't make any big decisions. I've got to go back. I make all the big decisions in my family. They just never come up. She takes care of everything in that house, so I'm not in charge of anything. That's for sure. Hey, sir, the 8th Army is a new, unique unit and, storied history in the Pacific. Would you tell our audience just a little bit about your history?
Sure. So 8th Army was formed in 1944 in World War II. Mm-hmm. And the original moniker we had was the Amphibious 8th. Yeah. And so we fought through the Pacific campaign into the occupation of Japan. And then in 1950, when North Korea invaded South Korea, the 8th Army was called upon by General MacArthur to come ashore on the Korean Peninsula. We came ashore in July 1950. We've been here ever since. And so, as the Army's only field army, we are unique in that respect, and we're unique in that we are the Army forces for Korea. And we've been side by side with our Korean allies ever since we got here in 1950.
Yeah, I stayed, like I said, before we started the show, I spent a year in Korea, and it's one of the best assignments I've ever had in Korea. And I love working with the ROK soldiers, just very professional and just a lot of fun. I enjoyed it all the time. Hey, Sergeant Major, would you tell the audience about the historical and current significance of 8th Army being forward stationed in the Korea Peninsula?
Absolutely. First, again, as the Lieutenant General Hilbert said, we've been here since 1953, not as an occupational force, but as a deterrence force.
Yeah.
And for the last almost 76 years, we've been able to achieve peace and stability for the region. And not a lot of other organizations have had that opportunity or could do that. And we've done this through all of our multilateral training that we do and all of our joint training with our joint partners here on the peninsula. The one thing 8th Army can say is that we have fought in some wars, but we've also prevented wars. And there's not a lot of organizations that can say they prevented a war.
Yeah, you work pretty closely with the other sergeant majors in the Korean Army, don't you? With the ROK soldiers?
That is correct.
Yeah. I know when I was over there, we did a lot of, we had Katusas. Don't they call them Katusas? They're really just about every unit.
That is correct.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, sir, the 8th Army is a dynamic environment surrounded by a lot of adversaries. No question about that. Would you tell us about the command's real-world mission and your priorities?
Yeah, so every day, you know, our mission, it aligns with the national security strategy. We defend the homeland. We've got the opportunity to do it forward here on the peninsula. And really, if you broaden it out, we've got the opportunity with our Korean allies to defend two homelands, theirs and ours. And we do that shoulder to shoulder with each other. So we are forward deployed. We like to, you know, we like to say that, you know, we've got positional advantage being here in Korea, and we've got a lot of great opportunities to really deter adversarial action from a unique position being forward deployed here with our Korean allies. The idea of being ready to fight tonight, that has not changed on this peninsula.
Yeah.
And that hasn't changed for the ROK Army. It hadn't changed for our own Army. So we take readiness to fight tonight very seriously. It's not just a bumper sticker. It's for keeps. And so, you know, to your point, when you were here, you know, and all of my friends that have ever been stationed here before, the comment they've always made, they've enjoyed their time being stationed in Korea because you were focused. And you were focused on your mission set, and you were focused on what you needed to do, and you were focused on building that tangible readiness that we need for our forces, but for our Korean allies as well.
Well, you know, things can change so quickly over there. And I remember, whatever's good today may not be good 2 hours from today. And you got to be ready to do exactly what the government asked you to do over there. Hey, Sergeant Major, how does serving in Korea differ from serving, you know, on any other assignments around the world?
So I would probably say that as soon as the soldiers arrive and they go through the Theater Gateway Company and they're assigned to their organizations, they're immediately put into combined positions and joint positions and multilateral positions. And they're immediately brought onto a team, and they understand the strategic importance that they're providing to the team and how important it is that they are ready to fight tonight. Because again, as I often tell the younger soldiers, is we pretty much have to rely on ourselves for at least, you know, about 20 hours plus 7 days, because it may take a while for replacements to get here. And that's why it's important that we are always willing to work together and understand our mission here. And the big thing is they have to understand that they're part of a team and they're a valued member of our team. And what they do every day is extremely important. And so that's probably the biggest thing. The other thing is these soldiers are not training for the next CTC rotation. They're doing real world operations every single day. And that's probably the biggest thing that they get.
Yeah, I used to tell everybody, when you raise your hand to protect and defend the Constitution, there's, you know, just no second best in our profession. You've got to be ready to do what our government or our country has asked us to do. And you guys are right there on the tip of the spear every day. So I certainly appreciate it. Hey, we need to take a quick break. When I come back, I want to talk about this. I've never heard it before. 3-2-1 assignment model for soldiers arriving in Korea and how it's impacting readiness. So I know you're good soldiers. Don't go anywhere. Stay right there. I'll be right back. This is your Next Mission Video Podcast with me, your host, Jack Gail Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major of the Army. And if you're enjoying this discussion, I know that you are, because we're talking with two leaders in Korea that on a moment's notice, things can change. They're right there on the tip of the spear, protecting us each and every day. Please like us. Click on that subscribe button below. Don't be sure to click on the bell to receive notifications of all of our upcoming video podcast releases. I'll be right back after word from our presenting sponsors.
You're watching Your Next Mission video podcast, proudly presented by Navy Federal Credit Union, the most trusted credit union owned by members of the military community, serving all branches of the armed forces and their families. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. Their members are the mission. Purdue Global. You're ready for a comeback, and with Purdue Global, you can do more than take classes. You can take charge of your story, of your career, of your life. Earn a degree you can be proud of and get an education employers respect. Start your comeback at PurdueGlobal.edu. And USAA.
A century ago, our founders made a promise to always take care of their own. That promise is still at the heart of everything we do and why our members know we'll do what's right. Because at USAA, we take care of our own.
Now back to your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley.
Hello there, welcome back. We're talking with Lieutenant General Joseph Joe Hilbert, Commanding General, and CSM Jeffrey D. Weaver, Command Sergeant Major of 8th Army in Korea. Sir, the Army recently introduced the 3-2-1 assignment model. Can you explain to the audience exactly what that is?
Sure. So, Sergeant Major, you mentioned before you'd been stationed here on a one-year assignment. I think you said you were a company first sergeant over here at the time, right?
I was.
And that's the model that for the majority of my career in the Army, that was the model. You would come to Korea for a year. Your family would stay back in the continental United States. There were some accompanied tours, but they were generally for very senior folks or specific jobs, maybe battalion commanders, CSMs, what have you. But everybody else, you came for a year, and then you rotated back to the States. Well, what we've done is we're calling it tour normalization, and that is where now Korea is, for the most part, accompanied on an accompanied tour. So most of our billets, you're able to come over here on a three-year tour if you bring your family. If you choose to be a geographical bachelor, bachelorette, you can leave your family back for a two-year tour. But you're able to come over here with your family and be stationed here and then experience all the incredible things that Korea's got to offer. Now, we do have, where the one comes into play, there are a few spaces and a few assignments that remain a one-year unaccompanied tour. And that's just because we've got to build the facilities and the infrastructure to support having family members in some of our locations, right? And it's kind of obvious where those are. It's just in places where we just traditionally haven't had them. But for the majority of our soldiers, we've gone to this full accompanied tour model. And we're changing. It's not your dad's Korea. Candidly, it's not, Captain Major Hilbert, First Sergeant Weaver's Korea. It's a completely new model, and it's something we're just super excited about because having your families here with you presents a great opportunity to see Korea, to see Asia, and it presents a commitment, candidly, to the Koreans. We're in this. We're in this together. So we're super excited about the ability to have accompanied tours over here. It just makes all the right sense.
Are you getting good feedback from the soldiers and families when they come over there? I mean, what kind of feedback are you getting? Sergeant Major, one of you can answer that. Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. I'd say the biggest feedback right now, Sergeant Major, is it's hard to get them to leave.
That makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. Is that the same? They want to stay three. I imagine, do you have a lot of people extend?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, wow. Yeah. It's a great opportunity, Sergeant Major. I mean, if you think about it, think about that time that you had as a company first sergeant on a one-year tour. 10% of your force rotated every month, right? And so just think, if I remember right, you were 19 series, right?
Yeah.
Just think about this. Yeah. Just go back through your head what it took to maintain stable gun crews for your tanks on that kind of model. You were constantly chasing a certification. But now think about all the other assignments where you were stationed in the continental United States and you were on a 36-month tour. The stability in your crews, the stability in your leaders, the ability as leaders to drive change and then to see it through to completion. You started over every year under that one-year model. And so So it's a huge win for readiness. And then, as the Sergeant Major said, our families love it. There's just great opportunities over here, great quality of life. And if anything, our problem is you know, it's a first world problem. But there's a lot of FSTEs and, you know, extensions that we get to sign and approve to keep great talent over here.
Yeah, you're right on target when you talk about it. When I was I had a cohort battalion. This is years ago when I was at Fort Knox. And it was the only time in my military career that I had crews that stayed with me for 3 years. Of course, after that 3 years, they all dispersed and went somebody else. And you're really right. When I was over there as a first sergeant, you'd hope that you could put at least keep the tank commander and gunner together and rotate loaders right. And drivers to get through that exercise. But it was tough, and it was challenging and stuff. I got to ask you one more question. I remember, I'm not going to talk about ranges when I was over there, but I remember firing on the ranges, and every time we'd cease fire, the Koreans would run out and pick up ammunition off the ranges. I don't know if they're still doing those kind of things, but somebody asked me one time and said, well, I hope they're not still doing it, but they maybe are, you don't see them. But they asked me, what do I do? I said, keep shooting. And they'd disappear and come back and pick up that brass. And so that was crazy. Hey, Sergeant Major, you want to add anything about families? Any more about families you want to talk about? I know you're really focused on families and soldiers.
Yeah, the big thing, you know, as you talked about, it's helping us with our readiness and maintaining readiness. And two, we're actually building cohesive teams. That's the big thing, too, is when you have part of your formation leaving, you know, every month, it's hard to build that team, as you guys have just spoke about. But for the families, it's really important for the families because it's giving them stability and predictability. And that's what a lot of the families need and want. And the other thing it gives them the opportunity to come out into the Pacific and actually see what the U.S. military is doing globally and the strategic implications that it has is here in the Pacific and in the Indo-Pacific region. And so it's really important for the families to come out here. And not only that they become part of the alliance as well. And so they feel more like a bigger family. They're meeting the host nation employees, the local nationals, and they're developing friendships and relationships that are going to last a lifetime here.
Yeah, I've got to tell you this story. I had a funny story when I started making the Army. I was sort of making the tour around, you know, Korea, Germany, all the places. So I went to Korea, and I went to get business suits before I got out of the Army. And so I went there, and I think I went down by 8th Army, and I bought me some suits. And this guy was measuring me, right? He put his measuring tape around me. He said, Sergeant Major, he said, you retired? I said, yeah. He said, I add 2 inch. Right. So I said, but this guy was smart. He was exactly right. I gained about 10 pounds and I dropped out of the Army there. So
they're still measuring that way.
Well, the other thing is the Korean people are so kind and so polite and so courteous. And I mean, you can't not like them. I mean, they just want to do a good job. And if you run into bad people everywhere, but all the Koreans that I talked to and visited when I was over there, they were just wonderful people. And it was very kind to U.S. soldiers when they was over there. Hey, sir, would you talk about the long history of working alongside the Republic of Korea, the ROK soldier forces, and how, you know, the impact on our forces there?
Yeah, I mean, it's tangible. And, you know, it's a little bit of the idea of rising tides raise all boats, right? So when you get, you know, two formations of any kind, right? But if you get a U.S. and a ROK unit out there, there's a positive competitiveness that happens that is a learning environment, right? You watch the Koreans do something better than you did, you want to do it even better.
Absolutely.
They're watching you do things.
Yep.
They want to do something. They want to do it even better than you did. And so that natural kind of competition just makes us better in the long run. And then what you see, too, is but because of the history and the amount of time we've been here, you see the competitive advantage of us knowing each other and fighting alongside each other for multiple years, right? And the relationships that get built on the interoperability side. So one of the Korean generals that I work with, very closely with, he graduated from our infantry officer advanced course. He's good friends from that time with fellow general officers that I know. There's Korean general officers that went to the war college with me that are now in key positions. You just see that kind of throughout the ranks. My Korean aide de camp is a graduate of West Point as an exchange cadet there, right? And so you just see that that alliance of 70 plus years and that human connection, it just continues to thrive as, you know, nobody knew that this one general, when he was at the Infantry Officer Advanced Course, would one day, you know, be a Korean general and that his classmates would command corps in our Army. But that's the space that we're in. And so, you know, you've got kind of instant bona fides with them, and it gives you an ability to talk, you know, about serious topics on how do we build readiness together. It's just a great place to be because of the history that we've had here.
Yeah, that's really, hey, Sergeant Ray, do you want to add anything?
Yeah, it's the same on the NCO side. There's several Sergeant Majors within the ROC Army that have graduated from the U.S. Army Sergeant Majors Academy. And so we're doing that on that level as well. Some of the other things that we're doing here on the Penn is our NCO Academy is actually in an exchange program with the ROC Army where we have NCOs going to the ROC Army NCO Academy and teaching, and they're sending ROC instructors up to our academy and they're teaching. And the other thing that we do as well is we have the Korean augmentee to the United States Academy here at Camp Humphreys, where we're training the Katusa soldiers so they can be successful when they graduate that program and go out there. And of course, we're obviously doing training at every level from squads and teams all the way up to companies and battalions at everything that we're doing. The other thing we're doing is we've started to send soldiers to the ROC drone course, and we're getting training through their drone course. And we're doing that. And then we actually have two soldiers from 2ID, I believe, that are getting ready to go to the ROC Ranger School. So that's like one of the first time that's ever happened. And currently, right now, we're conducting E3B here on the Penn, and we actually have Katusas and ROC soldiers competing in that. I believe we have about 120 ROC and Katusas that are actually competing for their EIB, ESB, or EFMB currently.
Oh, that is so important. You said so many positive things, both of you right there as you was talking. How long have we been putting that? How long have we been putting
that? Yeah, Sergeant Major, So another great, guy with a good haircut, my good buddy and our good buddy, Sergeant Major Bulmer over at USFK, just recently led the Backbone University. Now, you know, you can imagine non-commissioned officer university, but what it did was more than just Republic of Korea and U.S. Army together. He brought joint non-commissioned officers from all services. And you can think kind of in the grades of like E6 through, I think there might've been a couple of E8s, but mostly like E7, you know, kind of platoon sergeants, petty officers, senior petty officers, master chiefs in the Air Force and the Space Force, brought them in, but also ROC joint non-commissioned officers. And it was a week-long program where they were here at Camp Humphreys together for, and they would do classes, but then they would do practical exercises and just watching that bond get built between these mid-grade non-commissioned officers, all services, both nations, powerful. Absolutely powerful.
You know, you got me so pumped up now. I want to join the Army and move to Korea. I don't think
we'll take you, Sergeant Major. Let's go.
Well, you know what? You said so many things. I can't remember. I wish I had wrote all of those down. Both of you guys said, but Sergeant Major, how long have we been putting ROC soldiers in ROC soldiers in our school and sending U.S. soldiers? I heard you right. U.S. soldiers putting them in the ROC school. Is that what you said?
That's correct.
I'm
not sure the date of when that started. I know there was a gap in it for a while. It might have been because of the COVID, but we were actually starting to pick that back up this year as well.
That's a smart decision because you're building every time you do something like that, you're building a stronger and stronger team of people over there in Korea. That's perfect. And I guess they're doing the same thing. You said they're doing the same thing with the officers also, right, sir?
That's right, Sergeant Major. And we've been doing that for years through the Schools of Other Nations program or, you know, the program where we bring officers over into everything from our basic course. Well, really, like I said, even, you know, from West Point all the way up through our senior service college and even into the general officer education program. I went to the combined land forces component commander course with, you know, allies and partners from the world. So we've got a great history of doing it at all levels within our officer education program.
Yeah. They probably kick me in the backside if I keep talking. I love talking to you guys, but let me ask you a question. The serving in Korea, I served in Korea, but, you know, back there a long time ago. It was one of the best assignments, like I told you before, that I'd ever have. What makes serving in Korea so special and different from other assignments, sir? I mean, you tell me already. I mean, the things that you're doing are just motivating me right now. I mean, the schools, the assignments, the connection that you have with the Korean forces over there. But what makes it so special to you?
Well, Sergeant Major, I mean, that's absolutely a part of it, is the connection with other armies with shared purpose and shared vision, you know, to work toward a common end, defense of our homeland, defense of their homeland together. That absolutely, like, you know, gives you, you wake up with a sense of purpose every morning, right? The ability to do it with great allies alongside is incredible. And then, the Sergeant Major talked about for your families, the adventure, and for our DA civilians that are over here with us, and, you know, the whole total Army team, to be able to be forward in Korea, to be, to be Americans here with Koreans, and, to serve alongside each other, to be able to both celebrate together, but then prepare together. It's a great place for all of those reasons.
Yeah. I'm sort of getting off the script here a little bit. Is there a lot of retirees over there? A lot of families that stay there in Korea for a long time when they get out of the service?
Yeah.
There is a retiree population that's here. Absolutely. If you were to ask me the numbers, we could get them for you. Your podcast. But certainly, you know, they participate in everything from the retiree services here on post. You see them involved in the community. Sometimes if they live near Camp Humphreys or near Daegu, one of our camps, poster stations, you know, they'll be involved in some ways. In other cases, I remember, Sergeant Major, I met this guy walking through the PX here with my wife, and we were kind of rushing. We had to get from one event to another, and this guy just kind of stops me, and he looks at me and goes, good afternoon, General. And I said, well, hey, sir, how are you? And he just starts talking to me, he was kind of making his PX run, if you will, right? An older gentleman, and he mentioned something about being a boxing champion, and lo and behold, like, my wife gets home, she starts Googling, and she goes, this is the guy. And she shows me the picture, and all of it, you know, he talked about, like, his good friends that were Koreans that he had here, and what kept him here, and why he's still here. And then, back in the day, he was, you know, this boxing champion among the different camps, posts, and stations. So there's a fair number of retirees out there, both involved and to different degrees within our communities.
You know, I wish there was a way that we could tell this country about the things that go on in Korea and the relationship that we have with the Korean population over there. We don't get enough out there. We don't tell people all the positive things. We talk too much about the negative. So, oh man, this, again, you guys got me so pumped up. I'm going to get on my tennis shoes and start running to Korea over there right now. Hey, Sergeant Major, what is the lasting impact on soldiers and families who have served in Korea? You know, is there a lasting impact for the guys?
I would say, again, it's the friendship and the partnership that we gain here. It's a lifelong friendship that you're going to have forever. And as the boss was saying, like, you go downtown and you will just run into somebody, and they will come up and they will just be like, hey, I was a Katusa back in like 1993. And they will start talking. And since I've been here, my wife and I, we've gotten numbers from other individuals from as we've traveled, and we still like text them and talk to them. But it's the relationship and the partnership that we get here. It's not like anything I've ever seen in anywhere in the world. Because again, especially being here for 3 years, you're building a lifelong relationship with somebody. And so that's probably the biggest thing they're going to walk out of here with. And the other thing that I think the soldiers get is the operational experience that they get from being here is like nothing they're going to get anywhere else in the world.
Oh, yeah. I know when I was over there, it was a lot different than what you have right now, but there was no distraction. He was in the field training all the time. So you was focused on your mission all the time. Hey, we need to take another quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about birthdays and the country's and the Army's birthday. I love the Army's birthday. I mean, we're a little bit older than everybody else. And we got a surprise, too. And one of my favorite things to do every year. So, Sir Sergeant Major, be good soldier now. Hang right in there. I'll be right back. Now, here's a word for one more of the organizations that helped make this show possible.
You're watching Your Next Mission video podcast, brought to you in part by Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Dental, Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Vision.
Quality insurance will set you up for the rest of your life. And I think that's what Blue Cross and Blue Shield has demonstrated for decades.
It adds to your longevity of life because we want to be there for our loved ones. We want to be there for our family.
Now back to your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley.
Welcome back. We're blessed here today with Lieutenant General Joseph Joe Hilbert, Commanding General, and CSM Jeffrey D. Weaver, Command Sergeant Major of the U.S. 8th Army, coming to us all the way from Camp Humphreys, Korea. Remember, this is your show. We know there's so many issues that directly affect you, and we want to address each and every one of them. So please reach out to me. Tell me what topics you'd like us to cover. You can send me an email, or you send me a message at 844-424-1134, or send me an email at smatilly@yournextmission.org. And guess what? I'll reach back out to you. Hey, sir, Sergeant Major, 251 years in the U.S. Army and 250 of the greatest nation on this earth. I'm just so pumped up talking about it right now. You can't tell one story without telling the other. So I have to ask, what do these back-to-back milestones mean to both of you? And, sir, we'll start with you.
Yeah, I, like you said, Sergeant Major, super excited to celebrate the nation's 250th right on the heels of our own Army's 250th. So if when you think about like the greatness of the celebration that we had at the Army's 250, right, gave us all an opportunity to look back on the history of our Army over 250 years and look back at the legacy of the soldiers who come before us and realize for all of us, we stand on the shoulders of giants. I think about in the 8th Army headquarters on the first floor, we've got a hallway that's got all the Medal of Honor recipients from the Korean conflict that served in 8th Army, their names and their stories. And you know, these aren't generals. These are soldiers. These are, you know, American soldiers that, you know, went above and beyond that we still memorialize today. And when you walk down that hallway, you can't help but think like you stand on the shoulders of those giants, right? And so now we get to do the same thing with our own nation, and we get to look at the history of our own nation and realize we stand on the shoulders of those who built this incredible nation for us. And I think what it gives us an opportunity to do, just, you know, quite frankly, is realize we got to earn it, right? The old, you know, Saving Private Ryan quote, know, when he looks at him and he says, earn this, right? Yeah. And I think we all want to look back someday and say, I earned it, right? And so what do we got to do going forward to continue to build this Army for the next 250 years and build this country for the next 250 years so that those behind us, you know, can stand on this legacy that we build today. So it's exciting. It's super exciting to be able to do this 2 years in a row. I think we ought to put the same energy in 251 and 252, you know, in the next couple
Absolutely.
Of years. But it's a great opportunity.
I tell you what, I'm going to add one thing. I want to ask you, Sergeant Major. When they had this celebration at Washington, D.C., and they honored the Army at Washington, D.C., and they had tanks and soldiers marching and all stuff, I think that was one of the proudest moments of my life. I enjoyed it a great deal. Because we never tell our story. We never let people see, because we're quiet professionals that get the job done. And not many people, again, know much about what this great Army does. So I'm proud of the Army and proud of the people that serve and proud to know that I served. And I'm proud of that each and every day. And I'm proud of the people that's in there right now, the soldiers, non-commissioned officers and officers that are doing just a tremendous job. Same question to you, Sergeant Major. I'm not going to forget you. You just, like I said, you guys got me so pumped up. I'm ready to start running 5 or 6 miles so I can get back in there.
All right. So for me, you know, as I've served in the military, I often think when it gets around the Army's birthday and the nation's birthday of like, why do we serve and why do we do what we do? And it always comes back to one thing, and it's the oath that we all take and why we're here. And our forefathers had the intuitiveness to write the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. And it's the one thing that brings us all together. And so when I stand next to young soldiers, no matter where they're from, no matter their background, no matter what they believe in, that's the one thing that we all have in common, is we swore an oath to that Constitution. And it's so important. One of the things I've been doing over the last couple of years is I've been trying to show the soldiers how important it is of the oath and the Constitution, to the point where I carry the Constitution with me every day. And I tell the soldiers, if they ever want to see it, I'll show it to them. And I go back and I read it every once in a while just to make sure I understand what it says and what's in there, because I think it's important. We all swore an oath to support and defend this Constitution. We should all know what it means. And so that's what it means to me, is the Constitution and what we're doing.
Oh, my goodness. Golly. You guys, again, you got me pumped up. You know what? I often think about when I raise my hand and I'll protect and defend the Constitution. I tell people all the time, I said, I'll either take a life or give my life in defense of this great nation. I love this country and I love the Army, and I love what we're doing. And I can't thank you guys enough for coming on the show. But I'm not going to let you leave here yet. Before we let you go, it's tradition in this show anyway to cut a cake. The Army's birthday, and this year it's extra special as we celebrate America's 250th birthday. So even though you're 14 hours, I guess, ahead of us, I want you to join us and cut the cake. Now, I'm going to tell you how it's going to work here real quick so you guys understand. I know you're going to do a great job, because we're going to film that and put it all over social media. I'll count down us down when we start. I'm going to cut the saber. First, I'm going to give you, first we're going to say, go Army, right? And then we're going to say, what is it? Go she,
kapshi,
kapshi da. And then we're going to say, happy birthday, America. So I want you guys, oh God, you got me so pumped up. I don't know. I'm going to have to stand up to cut this cake. But I'm going to say 1, 2, 3, and I'm going to say how loud you guys are. Okay? Are you ready?
Ready.
Okay, ready. I'm ready. I don't know if I'm ready. I'm a little weak on this stuff. All right, here we go. Okay, here we go. 1, 2, 3.
Go Army!
Kapshi kapshi da! Happy birthday, America! Hooah! I got to throw that hoo in there. Hey, this has been so much fun, and I've had a great time. I hope you've had a good time, too, in the show. And again, I can't thank you enough for coming on, because I know you're busy, and I just appreciate taking a little bit of time to be with us today. Any final thought? Any final thoughts? Anything you want to share with the audience here today? And again, sir, we'll start with you. Any final thoughts you want to share?
Yeah, Sergeant Major, thanks for doing this for us, and thanks for helping us tell the story, right? If you got excited about coming out here, I'm telling you, for the soldiers, the family members, the Department of Army civilians, retirees that are listening and watching your podcast, you know, that excitement's real over here. And so, you know, we extend an invitation to you, Sergeant Major, to come out here. We would love to have soldiers and family members, retirees, come on out here and experience what we got going on, because we think we really got something special. It's just a great place to be.
Well, I just tell you, you guys are a great command team. I can see that right now. So you guys are doing a bang-up job. Sergeant Major, how about yourself? Any final thoughts?
Again, I'll reemphasize what he said. You know, if you feel like you want to be part of a team, this is the place to come. If you want to do real world missions, this is the place to come. This is not the Korea of the early, you know, I'd say 2015 and later. It is completely different here. The installations are state of the art. The schools are state of the art. Everything that you need and want in the States is here. So we welcome everyone, and we look forward to having everybody come over and see us.
Well, I don't want to tell you what year I was over there, because I was part of that old face back there. in fact, I was in Quonset Huts when I was over. That's how long ago that was. Again, I can't thank you enough for what you do each and every day and what you do for our country. And just keep up what you're doing. Don't change, because you're a tremendous team and do so much for our Army and our country. And just God bless you for coming on the show.
Hey, thanks, Sergeant Major. We're super happy to be here with you.
Appreciate the time, sir.
Thanks again, Lieutenant General Joseph E. Joe Hilbert and CSM Jeffrey D. Weaver for being with us. I'm Jack Attilly, 12th Sergeant Major of the Army. You've been enjoying your Next Mission video podcast. And thank you for joining us. Log on to our website at yournextmission.org and check out our job board in partnership with Recruit Military and Offline, where you can create your own personal profile that will match you with just the right job real time. You can follow me on my personal social media pages, Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and LinkedIn. And if you like what we're doing with Your Next Mission, please click on that subscribe button below. And don't forget to click on the bell to receive notifications about our upcoming video podcast. Remember, we want to hear from you. Please leave me a message at 844-424-1134. Send me an email at smatilly@yournextmission.org. Thanks again to Lieutenant General Hilbert and Sergeant Major Weaver for joining us today. And I'm going to tell you something. If you're not pumped up about talking to two professionals, two soldiers that love our country, that love our Army, that believe in us each and every day, that are willing to die for our freedom, something's wrong with you. Because a Korea is a place to go. I went to Korea a long time ago, like they talked about, but they're ready. They're on the tip of the spear for us. It's about protect and defend the Constitution of the United States, our country, each and every day. God bless you for watching this great show, because today, and each and every day, when we talk to soldiers, they're the finest our nation has to offer you. Thanks for watching, and thanks to Bungalow Studios, and of course, our sponsors, Navy Federal Credit Union, Purdue Global, USAA, and Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Dental, and Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Vision. We appreciate all you do for our military. And as always, see you on the high ground. Hooah!
You've been listening to Your Next Mission, brought to you by the American Freedom Foundation. Learn more by visiting yournextmission.org.